Howdy, howdy, howdy once again, my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on this Friday, June, Friday the 13th. Yes, don't touch that black cap. So, welcome to the show, my friends. Today, I've got my very good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, the retired police officer, San Antonio police officer, and law enforcement expert. And I wanted to get him on, folks, because we are watching the past few days how liberals, for example, prime example, Los Angeles, how liberals are reacting to these violent protests. And they are violent protests, and in spite of what the news reporters are trying to do. And I'll tell you a story in a few moments about my coverage of the protest here in San Antonio. But politicians, the liberal politicians and the liberal media are claiming that they're peaceful protests, and they're everything but that. The issue is, how are local police responding to this? Because we are seeing definitely a replay of the George Floyd riots, of the George Floyd supposedly peaceful protests. So I wanted to get Willie on to talk about that. What is happening in his opinion, and what should be happening. So Willie, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Hey, George. Yeah, it's been a while, I guess, again. But thank you for having me on.
Let me begin by asking you, because on Wednesday here in San Antonio, they had a protest, which luckily was not very violent. There were a couple of arrests at the end of the night. But there was a police presence, but there was also a large state trooper and a large National Guard presence in the downtown area. Something that I don't think we had at the George Floyd demonstration, the one where the police were beaten up. Still, we have had a lot of discussion regarding how police are supposed to react. So let me put this out there, because the city of Milwaukee, for example, is under an agreement with the Justice Department, formulated during the Biden administration, that there are certain activities and certain behaviors that the police are hindered from doing to avoid confrontation with the community, as they put it. But I don't hear anything about the community having certain restrictions in their interaction with the police. First of all, tell us about that. But then, secondly, what about San Antonio?
What Minneapolis Police Department was under was a consent decree, actually not a couple of consent decrees that they had. One was with the DOJ, the Department of Justice under Biden, and of course led by Merrick Garland, and the other one was a state consent decree that was in conjunction with a group called the Minnesota Department of Human Rights, some leftist group or organization that they started to confront the issues that supposedly the DOJ found where the department was in violation: excessive force, racial profiling, all this other, you know, all this anti-police leftist rhetoric. And the, you know, first of all, the consent decree is a court-ordered agreement between the U.S. Department of Justice, DOJ, and local, state, and law enforcement agencies. They're usually related to civil rights violations, like I said, excessive force, unconstitutional policing practices, and it's just a legal tool when investigations are under 42 U.S.C. 1414(1) to find patterns of misconduct, and that's what it is. And now, mind you, there are other, this, it's not just Minneapolis, there are other departments that are consent decrees, but as we know, under the Biden administration, they're anti-police. The leftists, the Democrats are anti-police. So after the George Floyd debacle in May of 2020, to carry that theater, and I'm going to call it theater at this point. I don't believe George Floyd was murdered. I believe he pretty much was a dead man walking with three times the lethal dose of fentanyl in his system, disease within his own body. He had meth in his body as well. His meth is an upper and fentanyl is a downer. His body didn't know what the hell to do with those drugs. So this dude was a dead man walking. But nonetheless, the left created that whole theater behind, you know, police murdering George Floyd. One thing that people still don't get, and it's still true, is that Derek Chauvin, the one that went to prison amongst the other ones that didn't, which is a longer conversation, but Derek Chauvin was the main actor. He was never convicted of a hate crime. So the race, pardon my language, the race issue that they're trying to conflate out of this is not there, but it's still there. Does that make sense? So
it's not real, it's made up.
Correct. But even though it's been proven that nothing was related to that, I mean, it was a call for service. He didn't just stop Floyd on the side of the road doing direct patrol. You know what I mean? He yeah. responded to a call for service as expected. So that race issue, and to say that he targeted a black man is not true, but it still holds, you know? And so to continue with that rhetoric of anti-police and police are bad and, you know, and they're racist and using excessive force, they were placed under these consent decrees. Now, you knew Merrick Garland was going to do it. And of course, the state is leftist, you know, they're going to do that also. They create that other organization, that Minnesota Department of Human Rights. And the really bad thing is that they're full of leftists. And so they're the ones that are going to create other guidelines on top of what was, you know, asked of them by the DOJ. So, but the Trump administration had ended that consent decree, and not just with Minneapolis, but other departments. And I had been saying that. If I were Trump, I'd come into office and I would cancel a lot of consent decrees because we knew why they were there. And he did so. But Minneapolis, the city itself, and even the state, thought they know better. And so they say there doesn't matter whether the consent decree has gone away. They're going to continue with the guidelines because they think that, you know, there's still a problem.
And these guidelines, I've heard terms like that they handcuffed the police from doing police work, that they hurt the police morale because they weren't able to do police work. Is that the way that you see this?
Well, when you're under this watchful eye, and mind you, one, you know, watchful eye, when you're under two consent decrees, then there's two watchful eyes, and Trump took away the one, so they don't really have to worry about the federal so much, but the state, I mean, these officers, when they talk about, you know, they need to be held accountable, these guys, and when I was, and towards the end of my career, and officers all over the nation now, they wear body cameras, and they are on all the time when they're out in public, and they're recording all the time. I don't know who else is held more accountable than someone that's doing their job with a camera on their chest.
Yeah, certainly, and certainly so, not the paper pushers or the ones that are getting on free grants.
But, you know, I'll try to say it as quickly as possible, but police work is not easy to understand if you are not in law enforcement. And even people in law enforcement, depending on what they've done in their careers, a lot of them don't understand police action, nor do they understand their lawful authorities. You know, one of my side retirement gigs is an expert witness for some defense attorneys to defend police officers and justify their actions. And we are successful 100% so far. But it's crazy that even people in law enforcement in our own city governments don't understand it. And a lot of it, too, is they don't want to understand it.
Right.
Because then it kills their narrative. They want to continue to say, no, you did wrong. He was a black man. You did wrong. Mm-hmm. And officers know that. You know, you hire educated men and women, and they realize that they can't win. And so a lot of them just don't do anything. and they go to work and they do as little as possible. And that doesn't mean they're lazy. It just means that they're self-preserving. A lot of them, and I just talked to somebody.
Would you say that it creates a morale problem with the police?
Well, and I was about to tell you, I just talked to someone the other day that is in this mental health unit and mental awareness within our department, San Antonio. And they're having to talk to officers that have this anxiety because they feel useless. You know, when you get into the police department, it's a certain calling. You know, you want to help people, not to mention you're kind of a thrill seeker because it is fun to chase bad guys. You know, I had a great time doing it, but these people feel like I could do something, but they're also like, I can do something, but I know that even if I do something right, I can get in trouble. And that's what we've seen already. There's proof of that. Those are the officers that I've defended, you know, and it's not only our Soros bought DA Joe Gonzalez, but it's also our coward chief Bill McManus, who's firing these guys for justified actions. And you know, go ahead.
No, okay. So now that you've brought it to San Antonio, we are looking at right now a repeat of these George Floyd riots. Only now it's all about immigration, and it's all about immigrants, and we've had one demonstration on Wednesday. Apparently there was a smaller one today. There's supposed to be on Saturday the 14th a large demonstration, and a lot of people are gearing up for it, both in preparedness as well as in getting ready to protect mode. How do you see these demonstrations, these riots, impacting on public safety because of these decrees, because of these agreements?
Well, for now, San Antonio isn't under one, and with this DOJ, they probably won't be. But I will say, and not to sound like I'm not trying to answer your question, now that we've seen this with this newly elected mayor, I don't see why this wouldn't happen in San Antonio.
Right.
And she is a leftist. She's a socialist.
The violence and the riots, you mean, right?
Correct. But you know, even along police work. So, but the officers still feel, because we still have a chief that's firing people no reason at all, and then we have the DA that they got to worry about. They're still, it's almost like they're under a consent decree. The fear is still there, but these officers, they know what to do. I mean, when these guys go through training, you know, they're being taught a certain way that is guided by the state and procedures and how you act in these situations. But what we're talking about, yes, they're doing that, but then they might get, because of the optics of it, they might get in trouble, you know, because it looks bad. And then when you have social outcry with the leftists and the city, the city's going to cower even more, and then get that officer off the street, put them on administrative duty, and possibly file, you know, criminal charges on them. So that's what's going to happen with these guys. The other thing is, I believe, and I don't want to get to a long conversation about it, I believe that the left want these protests and these riots because it's good news, you know, candy for them. It makes it look like that that people are so upset at Trump. So it's all about, you know, what Trump is doing. Here it is in San Antonio, and luckily we had one, and you were there yesterday, right? That Take Back the Alamo,
right?
You know, crazy title. You know, when you hear someone say, hey, you know, this is our agenda, this is our event, Take Back the Alamo, what does that mean? Is it a cute little name, or does it mean, like, are you telling them what you're going to do? Because the only way to take back the Alamo is by force. So, luckily, not a lot of people showed up. You know, you were there. It was peaceful, is what it appeared. But they're going to do it again, is it today and tomorrow, right? They're going to do more riot, and I'm hearing that Saturday, tomorrow, is the one that could go bad.
Yeah, it's a national one. coordinated, which is very interesting. Let me share this with you, because I was interviewed by CBS on that day, on Wednesday, at the Alamo, and I made the comment that this was a part of a coordinated national protest, and this reporter from CBS actually said that I was wrong, that he didn't see that. So, you know,
they're no help at all. They're no help themselves. They're part of that whole, this whole charade. And as you're seeing that, you know, and they're getting grilled. People are like, wait a minute, I'm watching clip upon clip and reel and things on the news of people attacking the police, throwing rocks. They're breaking up sidewalks to get the cement and pieces to throw, and they're mostly peaceful, just like they did in the George Floyd riots. Mad Maxine Waters was up there telling people, don't believe your eyes, believe me, because I was on the streets and there was no violence. You know, no one had been killed or shot yet. And I'll tell you, George, I have to say this, and it's important for your listeners. Can you imagine if you've been paying attention to what you're watching these police getting attacked, you're watching them sometimes going to arrest somebody, then other people jumping on their backs. Again, these things thrown at these officers, these things are thrown at them to severely injure them. And I'm sure they would love if they killed one. How is it that there has not yet been a police officer shooting one of them?
Exactly. Exactly.
And the question is, there's two questions. Is it out of complete professional restraint, or is it out of fear of the things that we're talking about? A persecution, prosecution. I would say it's more of that, because I am watching, again, with my expertise, I'm like, I'd have shot that person. You know what I mean? And none of that has happened. And I'm telling you, it's the good Lord looking after these guys. It has to be, because there's nothing else. It's gone on. There's so many interactions with officers all around the nation. How has it not happened?
Well, you know, there was that situation where they had the video of people dropping bricks off of the overpass of the freeway onto police cars. Now, if that doesn't cause an injury, I don't know what. I mean, I really don't know what the heck there is.
Well, they filed on. You know, kids have done it. Crazy kids have done it and dropped them on just unassuming motorists driving by, and they get charged.
And they get charged.
You know, they get charged. But here we are.
But here, I don't see that happening with these kids or people.
Well, you know, the thing that I trust, obviously, and they did pick up that one guy. There was a clip of a guy, he was standing by a tree and he was throwing bricks at law enforcement officers, I mean, hitting them hard, and they finally identified and they captured him. But that's different from what we had with Biden. Didn't want to do that. So we actually have, with you know, Kash Patel as the director of the FBI, Dan Bongino, deputy director, Pam Bondi, the U.S. you know, attorney general, they're like, hey, I'm going to go get these guys. That's awesome. You know, and you know what? It's great to be a Fed right now. Before, it was not good to be a Fed under the Biden administration. Now, in San Antonio, they're it's no better, because we have a leftist city government.
Yep.
And you know, definitely a leftist district attorney. So it's going to get bad. I think Gina Jones is, not think, I think, I know she is going to destroy the police department. She's going to do these things. She's going to seek consent decrees. And if it's not a federal one, it's going to be a city one, where she's going to create some leftist group and they're going to have more oversight on the police officers. So it's coming. And I feel really bad for our good men and women in the SAPD.
There has also been discussion, and this is all part of civilian making the police department more civilian, more community friendly, and all those good terms that they use. There is also talk of the city of San Antonio hiring non-police officers for police positions, and retired police officers to report or respond to what they call nonviolent incidences. In other words, to go to a house that's having a loud party and telling them to lower the volume. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, how do things ever go wrong when you go to a house and tell them to lower the volume at a party?
A lot of times, yes. and everything else that they describe. They're talking about minor accidents. They're talking about what they think are might be construed as civil disturbances and things like that. You know, police officers are trained to expect the unexpected and to be prepared every time they respond to anything. And in my tenure, you know, here's the other issue. When you talk about civilians, the department civilianized our dispatch office. And you saw that we could see the changes when they did that. We used to have a combination of civilians and police officers in dispatch. Now, mind you, I would never want to go to dispatch, but there were some people that did a good job, some officers that did, and good for them. They were being useful. Some of them were useless on the street, so therefore they were useful in that position. Then we have minimum wage call takers that take this information from oftentimes panicked people on the phone. And so therefore the translation from that information to the officers is usually skewed and wrong. And so when the officers are thinking they're arriving to something easy or what they think is nonviolent, it could already be, you know, busting out. And so if you're a civilian responding to that situation and it's already going on when you get there, action beats reaction. You won't have time to catch up. And depending on how they're going to be dressed, are they going to be dressed in a uniform that looks authoritative? You know, these people aren't going to go, well, that's not a real cop, so therefore we're not going to, they might, you know, think they're the real police and harm them really, really bad. So it's not a good idea. And you know what it is. It's about saving money is what it is.
That's exactly what that's what they're saying, you know.
Rather than hire more officers, they're trying to, you know, hire civilians at a lower pay rate, as well as retired officers. Tell you what, I'm a retired officer. I sure in the hell wouldn't do something like that. And but the problem is going to happen is there's going to be some that'll do that. They will go to work for that because they're bored.
Yeah,
you know, they want to feel useful again. And I feel bad for those guys, but I won't put another uniform on unless I'm the chief of police somewhere or some sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a good idea to think that way, because again, for years, even when I came on, not just now, we were taught to be ready at all times. And when they're going to try to separate these incidents just based on some information, you know, as we always receive it, and determine that, hey, that's a call for a civilian or a retired police officer,
right,
it's going to go bad.
Wow. Bottom line, buddy, because we're going to wrap it up here. What is your thinking, what is your advice of the situation that we've got right now, right here in San Antonio, with a newly elected, I would say, radical liberal woman, a situation where we've got radicals violently protesting in the streets? What are your thoughts regarding law enforcement at this point?
I don't want to sound negative, but I want to be truthful. Now is not a good time to be a police officer in San Antonio. I respect people's decision to want to be, and yeah, it is a great calling. You know, I think myself and a lot of my colleagues that are not retired made a difference in this community, and not really thanked for it. And I don't care. You know what I mean? I know we did, but I will say, and I was trying to do this video on my own, George, and, you know, start and stop and start and stop. And once I got going, you know, I just started speaking, you know, from the heart eventually, not necessarily from my mind. But like I said, I'm working with these defense attorneys and helping them defend police officers, you know, prosecuted wrongfully. And so what I said was, to the officers, the good men and women out there that are on the front lines, do what you know is justified and right. You need to go home to your family. Don't put yourself in further danger because you're afraid of prosecution.
Right.
I get it, but I promise you, I will help you. If you get prosecuted wrongfully, we will help you and we will get you out of it.
That's
the problem
excellent.
Is, yeah, you will be out of a job for 4 to 5 years until this gets litigated. The deal is, though, you'll be alive and you'll be with your family.
Exactly.
Do what you know and what you, and again, write good reports. Justify your actions at the time, and don't waver from that. Because either way, if it's done right at the beginning, it'll be seen at the end as being done right also. I'll help you clean it up. That's my job and what I'm doing with these attorneys. But aside from just leaving, which I'm not saying you need to do, you have to survive. So, you know, good luck and God bless those officers that are standing at the front lines. You don't have good leadership. And you sure in the hell don't have good leadership from the city or anybody backing you up. There is a few in there, but there's more of the other ones that don't like you. And the NSA people are leftist city government. So they need to stay safe.
Amen. Willie, thank you very, very much, as usual, for spending some time with us. Folks, we've been speaking with my good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, retired San Antonio police officer and law enforcement expert. And Willie, thank you so much. Keep up the good work being out there and defending the folks who defend us and protect us. And let's get you back on and chat some more about public safety.
Definitely, buddy. Definitely. I appreciate it, George.
You got it. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.